A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi there, and welcome to the Explaining History podcast. And today I want to be talking about the Strength Through Joy program, the Kraft der Freude, which was the official Nazi state leisure activities network in the 1930s. I think there are a number of interesting things to be said about the KDF. Normally, when you have an exam on the subject, you'll get a question asking you really to what extent did the Nazis win over the German people, and the KDF is a thing, you know, to mention as one of your points. But I think there's more to it than that, and the fact that ideology and leisure time are intimately connected is really, really interesting. There are clear counterparts in the Soviet Union to the KDF, but also if you look at the rest of the democratic world, you look at Britain, leisure time and the regimentation of leisure time and the enjoyment mass excursions and exercise and all the things that were meant to be kind of physically and culturally and intellectually uplifting for the individual became a key part of public and private life throughout the 1930s. The growth of holiday camps, even places as seemingly innocent as Butlins, became, you know, an integral part of the kind of the social history of the interwar years. That Nazi Germany had a culture of a kind of like a mass leisure organisation, and that was ultimately to further Nazi kind of social and racial policies, is in this regard kind of unsurprising. So the question of what to do with new leisure time, which had been available really to the workers across the advanced industrialised world since the end of the First World War, with new innovations and technologies and that sort of thing, was a pertinent one. The time was fast coming when the working classes of most European countries would be able to have affordable foreign travel. This is obviously a thing that really takes off in the 50s and 60s, and the package tour is symptomatic of the recovery of Western Europe in that period of time. But there's evidence of moves to mass package travel in the 1930s, and particularly with the KDF, tours to sympathetic countries, places, for example, such as Spain, and cruises to parts of the Baltic world, which were sympathetic towards Germany. Again, shows that widening there is a kind of a widening appetite amongst the working classes for these kinds of experiences. Now, obviously, one of the main reasons for creating the KDF, as far as Hitler was concerned, was to build his notion of Volksgemeinschaft, of a people's community. Travel was meant to be a new luxury, and leisure activities were meant to be a new luxury for the working man, but something that he could share with people he had perceived to be his social betters up until that point. There were attempts to make the bus tours, chalets and accommodation and dormitories and cruise ships classless, and to mix the working classes and middle classes in together. Obviously, it goes without saying that these kind of enforced classlessness really doesn't take off, and the people with more money simply pay a bit more so that they can avoid the people they consider to be their social inferiors, and the people who are, you know, German working class families tend not really to want to bother with people they consider to look down upon them. So, I mean, class is, in so many societies, such an ingrained and organic and structural thing that simply mixing everyone together and hoping for the best really doesn't tend to go deep enough into addressing these sorts of issues. Obviously, what Hitler's not trying to create is the kind of socialist classlessness that supposedly exists to the East. He's trying to create a kind of a more racial unity, a sense that irrespective of one's social standing, irrespective of one's pay packet or one's postcode where one lives, one can consider oneself German above all things, first and foremost. And there was never any serious attempt to resolve any kind of social inequality in the Third Reich. There was simply an attempt to convince the working classes that these divisive divisions that socialism and the trade unions had created throughout the 1930s were really the kind of things that have made Germany weak, and that these sorts of things needed to be put behind one, and one simply needed to focus on a sense of Germanicness or Germanness above all things. Easy to say when you are not the person on the low income with the cramped accommodation. So if the KDF failed really to create a social a kind of homogenised society, did it succeed in Hitler's other role of indoctrination? Well, the working classes, particularly, who were a demographic within Nazi Germany, who were not necessarily inclined towards Nazism, and generally more inclined towards the Nazis' opponents, the SPD and KPD, the working classes were very much sold on the idea that Nazi Germany was now working for them, that it was a government that was providing material gains and advantages. The only problem with this is that from up until rearmament, real wages continue to go down. There may have been more work, but there's no more money being pumped into the system, and there is constant gnawing away at living standards of inflation. So, whilst there may be cheap holidays, what there isn't, for example, is the ability to collectively bargain, the ability to strike, or the ability to withdraw labour in any way in order to compensate, in order to put pressure on the business community to deal with wages in the face of mounting inflation. So cheap holidays were kind of window dressing, really, compared to this fundamental issue. And here is... For some commentators, the reason why the KDF was seen as being important by Hitler is easier to offer cheap holidays than it is to allow potentially damaging pay rises that would lead it to an inflationary spiral, or B, to pander to working class interests, which would then simply give the clear impression that Hitler's war against the left and his attempt to destroy socialism had fundamentally failed. Most KDF holidays had one predictably tedious aspect to them. The Nazi Party guide stroke commissar who would go with the tour group and periodically interrupt their fun and give them lectures on matters of National Socialism. And there are plenty of anecdotal reports which suggest that most people edited these probably quite tedious speeches out. The last thing, if you're on a nice trip to sunny Spain, that you want to do is to listen to somebody talking about politics, probably of any persuasion. It shouldn't be seen as an act of active resistance, of people actively objecting to Nazi ideology. More of a kind of a passive apathy. And one of the ways of looking at Nazi Germany that I think is very interesting at the moment and being pioneered on by a number of excellent history writers, people like Roger Moorhouse, for example, is the fact that there was more than a little apatheticness from ordinary people in the Third Reich, and more than a little disinterest, and more than a little sense that, well, as long as we've got some degree of stability, that's fine. But not the kind of engagement with Nazi ideology that people like Joseph Goebbels would have hoped for. Richard J. Evans writes in The Third Reich in Power about this idea that Goebbels was hoping for this absolutely total revolution where there would be no part of the individual life or consciousness that wouldn't be reached by Nazism on some level, and that there would be no passive bystanders, there would be no people who would reluctantly shrug and think, well, I suppose I'll have to go along with it, that there would be active participation from everybody. Now, if that was the view, if that was the Nazi revolution that Goebbels prayed for and hoped for, well, it never fully arrives. Instead, I would say that there is a small core of committed activists and a majority of the nation who really make the best of quite trying times, muddle along through the middle, and probably try to stay out of politics as much as possible. It's not to say that there aren't nice things on offer from time to time, and that when there are, such as nice holidays and trips to resorts and that kind of thing, that people aren't pleased with them, grateful for them, or enjoy them. They certainly do. But the extent to which those people go on to become committed Nazis is probably quite limited. As you would expect, there are probably more effective ways of indoctrinating people, and it would seem that the Nazi use of education certainly was that more effective way. The people who went on KDF holidays seem by and large to have selected the things they enjoy from them and discarded the rest. But isn't that what most people are like on holiday? I hope this has been an interesting, shorter little podcast today. There'll be some more things on Nazi Germany probably later in the week. If you are doing your exams this week, if you're doing your exams in the next few weeks, skip back through some of the podcasts. There's some great exam advice specifically for you guys. And good luck as well. Thanks very much, and I'll be recording a couple of other things in the next day or so. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.